stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into Grinding the Edge, episode number 60 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. I had a lot of people ask me some questions from last week's episode, so I'm going to start it off with that. I, last week, investigated your startup seed to your odds of winning a championship. And what I found was essentially it didn't matter. There was some variance year to year, but overall, it wasn't a huge difference. And I had so many people contact me about one specific question. And that question was, but what about third round reversal? What are the odds with that? So I went through and I pulled the data just to make sure for sure that there was not a huge difference. And it turns out there kind of was. And it kind of goes against some of what you would think of with how we try to play Dynasty in terms of, hey, what do we have at the very, very top? We've got a tier of four top tier quarterbacks. And if you look at the third round reversal data, the top four are the lowest with the exception of that second pick. Last week, I mentioned how that second pick, it had a statistically significant increase where expectation was 8.3% and the actual percentage was 8.8% or 8.9%. Spoiler, it's 8.8% in third round reversal for that second overall pick. Just for that second overall pick, for picks 1, 3, and 4 in your startup, those numbers are 7.7, 7.5, and 7.7. So there's got to be something going on with that second pick, and I genuinely have no idea what it is. I don't know what to tell you in terms of why it is that way, why it is that the second pick is the only one. It's not a trend line or anything like that. And it goes across multiple years. Maybe it has to do with just, like, the only thing I can even try and think of is that I feel like Josh Allen in multiple years has gone as either the number one or number two overall pick. And maybe he spent some years as the number two overall dynasty pick, and or the people drafting number two would see that, oh, he doesn't go number one, and they got him. And because Josh Allen has been so consistent, that's how they've done so well. I genuinely don't know a better answer to this question than that. But the third round reversal, picks 1, 3, and 4, they are statistically lower. And then if we look at the rest, they kind of make up for it. So 5, 6, they're 8.5 and 8.8%, so an increase. And then you have 7 and 8, or 8.1 and 8.2, so they kind of make, like, they fit in with what you would expect, because what you would expect is around 8.3%. 9 jumps back up to 9%, which is the highest of the entire sample. And then 10 back down to 8.1%, which is average. And then 11 and 12 is 8.7 and 8.8. So what we see is 5, 6, 9, 11, and 12 all have a better chance. And you can tack on 2 in there as well. And then 1, 3, and 4 are way lower. And then 7, 8, and 10, they're just kind of average. Now, why is this the data? I don't know. I don't have a good answer to exactly what this is. And whether it's even just something that's biased by the the kinds of people that would play this. So just something to point out here. So I'm looking at specifically leagues where we have a third round reversal. And the sample when I do all leagues, that was 49,763 leagues. The sample of third round reversals, only 12,450. That's basically 25%. So 25% of leagues are third round reversal, which means that 75% are not. And this is in dynasty startups. There's those of us who are in these communities where we talk dynasty all day, we are very tuned into third round reversal. We very much are like, this is the way to go if you are doing a snake startup. But those who aren't, they're in a standard third round, a standard draft that does not have third round reversal. They encompass 75% of all dynasty startups. And so it kind of gives a little bit of a flag of how insular our communities very well might be. When we talk about our community and the kinds of things that we're playing in and what we expect to be the norm, I know that a lot of the communities that I'm in, the norm at this point is to have some kind of tight end premium. Like, we have to clarify that, hey, when we have standard PPR, that it is no tight end premium, because we're just so used to saying, okay, there's a tight end premium, you need to clarify that. But in reality, across the broad spectrum of the dynasty landscape, that's not the case. So that's just something that we as a community, in terms of how we talk to each other, we need to be aware that some of what we're looking at goes across the entire spectrum of anybody that's playing in dynasty leagues, and it may not be as applicable to the ones that we're in that maybe we care about the most. I know I personally care about the leagues with the people that I'm closest with, and for dynasty, that means the people that are in the communities that I'm in. I care way more about beating all the people that are in the South Harmon Savage tier than I do care beating that random league that I joined 4 years ago. It's, even though that one from 4 years ago is way older, like I've had a longer conversation with those owners and managers, the people in the South Harmon community that I talk to basically every single day, those are the ones that I actually want to beat. And so you need to understand that the data that we're talking about may not be applicable in those situations. It may look totally different. But to conclude this third round reversal talk, it's interesting to see that third round reversal seeds 1, 3, and 4, they are significantly lower. And then basically everything else makes up for it. Whereas if you flip to non-third round reversal, that's the reason why 1 through 4, they looked average when I was looking at the data with all leagues. Because that 1, 2, 3, and 4 are 8.5, 8.9, 8.8, and 8.4% respectively. Seed 5 is still 8.5%, but then everything else is more or less average. And because there's significantly more non-third round reversal teams, that's how it looks average when you look across the board. So hopefully this answers some of those questions about third round reversal of like, hey, how does this affect this? In third round reversal, it seems like that you want to be drafting towards the end if you want to have better odds of winning that championship year one. But I will tell you that I don't know when this is going to happen, because it does require a lot of data processing. Those of you who understand data processing, you'll understand why this would be a lot. But I want to do something where I'm looking at the dynasty value of all these teams after 1 year. And so that will be coming at some point this summer. It just might take me a little bit to get there. So, on to the second topic that I wanted to cover this episode. I wanted to go back to episode 6 really quick on this theme of, hey, other people play Dynasty different than we do. And just quickly revisit the number of leagues that owners are in and what a portfolio looks like for most of the Dynasty space. So, compared to last year, I have gone up in terms of total number of users that have played Dynasty that I have the purview over. Now, I think that means that we have more people still entering the Dynasty space, which is a great thing for those of us that are in it. You always want to see that more people are joining the thing that you love. And so last year, I had 820,000 people that were in a Dynasty league. And for this year, that number is up to 1.067 million. In addition, we are up to a total of 170,401 leagues, whereas last year, that was 132,813 leagues. So we've seen that number go up by 170,000 users, and that has generated for us another 38,000 leagues. I would say that's pretty good for us, and that is something that we like to see. We like to see that more people are getting into Dynasty because it means that, you know, we've got more people that we can get into leagues with that may be interested in filling our orphans, things like that. So let's look at the data of, hey, does portfolios look any different than last year? Well, last year we had 78% of people only had one Dynasty league. This year, despite all those people that have joined, we are down, actually, to 76.8%. So we've gone down by 1.2%. Now, what I don't know is whether this is just potentially a data polling difference. I don't know whether it's, hey, I've gotten a better purview or worse purview of all of the owners on Sleeper. And maybe these numbers really are more or less the same, or this is just a slight amount of variance. This might be something that we want to look at year over year and just see as we keep going, is this going to change? But it is nice to see that it looks like the trend might be that you're getting a little bit more that are going into more and more Dynasty leagues. However, those of us who are in a lot of Dynasty leagues, this means that we are such a small portion of the Dynasty player base. The number of people that are in a Dynasty league. So what I mean by this is, so 820,000 people are in one Dynasty league and 145,000 are in two. That would count as a decrease in the total number of people from one to two. That number continually decreases all the way until you get to 26. Once you get to 26, you finally have your first increase, which means, okay, we have phased out from the exponent or logarithmic portion of the curve, and we're getting into the flatter portion. And so knowing that, it means that a lot of people are starting to consider this portfolio mindset of, hey, you know what? I'm in a bunch of leagues. I can just start tacking on more somewhere around that 25 number. Once you get there, it's like, okay, taking on another league is not a huge deal to me. And so this can help us understand some of how you might want to play with your own strategies. There are some people out there who they really, really like having rapport with their league mates. They focus in on their leagues. They spend a lot of time on their leagues. And one thing you can't do is keep everything in your head. One thing you can't do is just keep track of all things. You can't join 200 Dynasty leagues and have the same attention to detail and care as you do if you have, say, only 5 or 10. And so it looks like that number might be anywhere up to 25. Up to 25, you are able to focus in enough on those leagues that if you want to play those kinds of strategies where, hey, I'm paying attention to everybody in these leagues, you can do that. Now, of course, you know your personal life better than I do, talking to you through some speakers or headphones or whatever. But you know that, hey, maybe I can only manage 5 dynasty leagues. That's the time that I have for. Or maybe I can manage that full 25. But that's just something that what most people are going to gravitate towards at these lower numbers is I'm focused in on these leagues. What I think is that once we get above that 25 number, we're starting to see where you have your true portfolio players. And I'm one of those. Where what you're doing is you're not paying attention to the individual league as much. You are paying attention to actually having a overall portfolio strategy. Where you are making decisions across your entire portfolio. Where, okay, I want to reduce my ownership of this player. I want to increase my ownership of this other player. I want to do this strategy where I understand that it may be risky in an individual league. But because I'm able to perform this strategy across so many leagues, it doesn't matter. I'm able to make a decision to say, you know what, I'm going to play really lean. If you listen to Scott Connor at all, he talks about all the time of his strategy is basically to reduce the number of decisions that he has to make on any given team on a week-to-week basis. And that strategy is something that can really come back to bite him. If you think about that, if the right player is not available on a given week, then that could lead to a loss in that matchup for that team. Now, The difference is that Scott is able to say, I can eat those losses on those teams. Because for every single time that I'm doing that, I have a corresponding team where I did not need a player. And I have increased the value of those points in my lineup by turning the value into the fewer players. The fewer guys that are in my lineup, I'm able to just start them and they're just going to be better than if I was holding on to these bench assets. And so you're playing this macro strategy. You're able to go through and say, I understand this is risky, but across my portfolio, it's going to even out. And if you correspond this back to my playoff seeding to overall winning the championship conversation, then having those higher spikes of teams means that you're likely going to have better outcomes in terms of the number of times you're going to win a league, the amount, total amount of money that you're going to make, things like that. Whereas if you have a smaller portfolio, and I don't mean portfolio in the same way, I'm talking if you have a small number of leagues where you're able to focus in on every single team and you don't need to spend a bunch of time focusing in on every single team. Now you're at the point where you don't have to worry as much about those sorts of things because you know what is going to be available to you and you can focus in on, hey, I can build my strategy around what I know my league mates will let me do. I can build my strategy around what I know I can get done when I need it, things like that. And so you have some of these overarching strategies that kind of play about across that difference. Once you jump that line from I'm focusing on leagues to I'm an individual league to I'm focused on my overall groupings of leagues. And that helps a lot in terms of the management. Once you get to the point where, okay, you know what? I've got so many, I have to make things easier for myself. It makes it way easier to not care about a league in terms of, hey, I know that this league can kind of just manage itself. I don't have to do much. This is my lineup. If somebody goes down, I will deal with it then. And those kinds of decisions are what kind of marks a portfolio player to me, where they're able to say, okay, I don't need to focus in on a specific league except for in a certain scenario. Maybe it's not going close to the way they were expecting. Okay, that's when you need to sit down and actually analyze that league for itself. But you're only doing that focus in here and there. And it might be, okay, I'm focused on this one specific league for a week or two until I fix it up, do whatever I need, and then it can go back to being in the fluff, being just a part of what I have. And the decisions I'm instead making are overall strategy decisions. It kind of goes back to the whole, like, if you are familiar with military battles, you talk about battle strategy versus battle tactics. The strategy is how you set up the battle. What units you decide to put against other units. And that's kind of you against the whole dynasty space. Everybody that you're playing with is on the other side of the battlefield. But if you're that overall commander, you can win consistently if you have a really solid strategy. And you understand, hey, this is how the troops that I have line up against the other troops. But if you're a really good tactician, you might be somebody that says, I know how to exploit a certain scenario where if I have my specific cavalry unit, I know that I can go in and beat up all those light infantry. And I know how to do that. I know how to flank them. I know how to do little moves here and there that are going to give me that control I need in order to win my engagement. When you're in a couple leagues, that is what you need to focus more on, because you don't have enough to really focus on that huge macro strategy. But you only have so much time in the day as an overall commander if you're looking at an entire battlefield where you can view the strategy of everything, and you have to pick and choose where you're going to help out with tactics. Otherwise, you have to leave it up to your subordinates. And in this case, those subordinates, they don't really exist. You don't have other people to leave it up to. And so that's why you need to have it, so that way your teams more or less manage themselves. The only times that, you know, they're getting thrown in your face is when something is happening. And it's either, hey, this team is not doing the way I expected, or maybe you got a league mate who's sending you a trade offer, and you're like, all right, I got to figure out in this league, what do I want to do? I mean, I specifically told somebody sent me a trade earlier this week, and I replied back to them. I said, honestly, I don't know what I want to do with this team at the moment, so I need to sit on this trade until I sit down and figure that out. And that's not something that I necessarily want to do. Like, I don't want to do that normally. But I have a team that I know is perfectly in the middle, and I need to figure out how I'm going to deal with this. I could try and push it in for another year, or I could try and pull out with it. And if I'm doing that, I need to make sure that I'm getting the right kind of value for my team. So that's why I sent that message back. And that's just something that, as a portfolio player, you've got to learn and understand that your league mates will probably respect that too. I know that I was listening to a few different podcasts over the past couple weeks where they've been talking about how they communicate with their league mates. And I am one of those people that I communicate pretty straight up of, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And the reason is, it helps me manage my leagues effectively. If I tell the other manager, hey, I'm really looking for this other thing, or I genuinely don't know what to think with this, I know I would do something like this, but this thing here, I need to spend some time on it if this is what you would rather have. And it helps them help me out. If I can tell them pretty consistently, hey, I'm really looking for this other trade, well, then they can give me a trade that I would likely accept. And otherwise, I don't need to spend as much time really trying to dig through that. Because oftentimes the trades they're offering me are also ones that's like, I don't need to fish for that, but I have a couple different strategies in this league and a couple different builds that I could go for that are relatively similar. And so if I'm sitting there with one of them, I might be content with it, but I might have a league mate who they want to do something different and they can swap my build from one thing to another. And I prefer to make those kinds of moves to keep those trade doors open, because at some point I'm going to need to go to that league mate and make a trade anyway. So all of this to say that the data from last year compared to this year, in terms of what a portfolio looks like, it looks relatively the same. That number right around 24, 25, like that's where I'm going to say, hey, that starts to be a portfolio. Once you have the expectation that you have two of every player across your portfolio, now you can start to say, okay, I actually have nuance where I can be in on average with a player and have two of them. I can be out on a player completely, have none. I can be somewhat out, but, you know, have a little bit of interest by having one of that player. Or if you have any more than two, you're obviously in on that guy. And the same thing goes across your entire portfolio as it grows. But if you're less than that 25 number, if you're down there at 10, well, your expectation is not that you have one of every single player. Your expectation, if assuming you're in all 12-person leagues, your expectation is that you don't even have one. So if you have one of a player, you should believe in that player. You should not have a single player on your roster if you have less than 12 leagues. There should not be a single player on your roster whom you do not believe in that player. If you have them, you should be actively looking to trade them, because your expectation would be that you don't have that guy. So that's everything that I have for this week. As always, you can keep in touch with me at Dynasty Koopa on X and at Koopa Troopa 8 literally everywhere else. I had somebody add me on Sleeper this past week just because they wanted to be able to talk to me. And now that we're in the summer, I'm going to be looking at some more broader portfolio strategies and kind of going through the process that I'm doing in my own portfolio. And I'll be talking through the kinds of moves that I'm making, what I'm looking at, and how I'm making sure that I'm in the spot that I want to be. So if you're interested in that, definitely stay subscribed to this podcast feed. And also check out some of the other shows that we have, because we have some awesome shows on here. I know for sure I am always waiting for America's Game to come out every single week, because especially when you have an America's audiobook episode, it is one of the most fun things that you can listen to, and it is extremely helpful for your teams. So that's it for this week, and as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.